The time is 5:02 and the Work City Council Finance Committee is now in session. May I have a motion for acceptance of the minutes for the meeting held on April 1st, 2024?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, thank you. We are now on to PCR 35-24, resolution relative to bids. May I have a motion for the committee meeting held on April 1st, 2024?
Acceptance of minutes, so moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Item number one is bid 2025-001, maintenance and repairs of Thayer Warburton Arenas. Good evening, Christy. Please identify.
Good evening, Christy Moretti, Public Works. Public Works is requesting to award the bid for maintenance and repairs at Thayer and Warburton Arenas in the amount of $50,000 for a one-year period to Environmental Systems. The bid begins July 1st, 2024 and expires June 30th, 2025.
Thank you. So you said that this is primarily for, in the your letter, for the compressor?
Yes, it is only for the compressor, that compressor room.
And this is the compressor we have to do the maintenance, but this is also part of the system that we're hoping, that we're looking to replace?
Yes.
Yep. So,
and we're hoping that with what we're doing now as far as repairs and replacement, that we won't have as much need for this contract. This is just our general yearly, you know, we have a service call or
right.
To do maintenance, things like that. But in general, you know, this is apart from the work that's going on right now.
Right. And I do want to commend your department for, you know, as you mentioned in the last meeting, but also we've spoken of, that compressor is over 20 years old. And
yes.
Or those compressors, but that compressor is over 20, those compressors are over 20 years old. And the fact that they're still going, and they really, there was a big gap there where maybe they weren't given the best service and the best follow-up. So the fact that we're being proactive, I want to thank you for that. So this is just, as you said, just a follow-through. Is there any questions for members of the committee?
No. No.
Thank you. Any questions, comments from members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. Hi, Christy.
Good evening.
Christy, this repairs to the compressor or compressor systems that you're referring to in your position paper. Is this part of the answer you provided to Councilman Gebhardt with the cost of, I think it was chillers and compressors? You said it was going to be about $10 million for both of the ice rinks. Is this part of that equipment you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
If we were to replace the equipment that we are having worked on right now,
right?
Yes, it would cost $8 to $10 million. And that's only the equipment that is, you can see visually. It doesn't include anything that is under the floors,
sure. Sure.
Or any of that. Those kinds of items.
So eventually that's all going to have to get replaced. So eventually, in addition to the monies that you're being forced to put into it now, we're facing at some point another bill of $8 to $10 million at some point. Thank you.
Are there any further questions for members of the council? Questions for members of the public? Questions from members of the public? Thank you. Next would be bid 2025-017. This is found on page 3. It is DPW janitorial and cleaning supplies for the Department of Public Works. Good evening again, Christy.
Good evening, Christy Moretti, Public Works. The Public Works Division, Department, is requesting to award this bid in the amount of $50,000, June 25th, 2024 to June 24th, 2025. To four of the 14 vendors that we received bids from, WB Mason, Staples, Glove Cleaners, and Geriatric Medical and Surgical Supply.
Thank you, and I apologize in advance. I meant to ask you this, and I completely forgot, and so now that it's in front of me. all the different codes, that's all the different buildings of the different departments that you will, that your department will oversee in getting those supplies?
Yes. So from the top, we have the Thayer and Warburton. We have McDermott Pool, building maintenance, field maintenance, and the automotive garage.
Thank you. And also, this is not on a rider of the state. This is, you went out for bid on, the city went out to bid on this. This is not on the coattails
That's
of
correct.
A state bid.
Yes.
Thank you. Are there any questions from members of the committee? Questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the public? Thank you, Christy.
Thank you.
We will now get into the items where I will call that are below the 50,000 threshold. I will call on members of this committee, members of the council, the members of the public on items they may wish to speak about. I have one per request of the department. That is item number four, which is bid 2025-025. I also am, one moment, please. Are there anyone from the members of the committee that have any other items?
I have one, I'm just trying to. Item seven, 2025-016, fire department promotional exam.
Thank you. Please tell me the numbers again. I have it
number
right here.
Seven.
Thank you. Number seven.
2025-016.
Yep. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm here to help you.
Councilman Gebhardt? Thank you. Yes, sir, I'll get, yep, in one moment, please. Thank you. Got it. I'd also like to call item number 11, which is bid 2023-310, per request of the department. Are there any? Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to discuss item number three, 2024-024 e-permitting.
Thank you, Mr. President.
The first one.
Councilman Gebhardt. Councilman Gebhardt requests item number 14, bid 2025-027, MIS Department, Munis. Are there any members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Item number nine, traffic signs, channel posts, and materials found on page 26.
Thank you. Are there any further items for members of the council? Are there any items that members of the public would like to discuss on the bid package? Are there any items members of the public would like to discuss on the bid package? Thank you. We'll go in order as per usual. And so therefore, I will call on the council president. This is item number three, bid 2024-024, MIS e-permitting. Phil, please identify. Council president, you have the floor.
Phil Carlucci, IT director.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, Director.
Good evening.
E-permitting, I think is the best way. You could, we continue to do it. I was pleased to see that the police department has increased what they're doing with the e-permitting as well. You noted that in your write-up here. Are most departments that kind of issue these permits or licenses and stuff like that, are we all taking advantage of this e-permitting, or are there other departments that maybe we could get up to speed?
We still think there's some opportunities left. Right now we're focusing with the police department because they had a list of about four or five, I believe, different permitting type licenses that they were using, pieces of paper, money, checks written in their presence as compared to the online system. Once we get through those, we'll just start chipping away at anything else that we have an opportunity to do.
Excellent. Yeah, no, you've got to take advantage of technology when we can. And I think that'll help the process, especially, building and building departments, stuff like that, get these applications in and get them processed and get them out there. So I was just pleased to see that the police department has joined in and trying to issue as many as they can as well. Thank you, Director.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Any questions for members of this committee? Questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. Hi, Director.
Hello.
So e-permitting is certainly something I've been a strong proponent of for many years. I was actually heavily involved in the legislative process of getting this done, of moving through the process. An extremely valuable tool to contractors and builders and developers as a whole. And Warwick was one of the first communities to actually start using this. The only question I have is in the second paragraph of your position paper, it says, since this is a mandated software by the state, as happened last year, we anticipate that they will reimburse the city for the portion of the cost associated to the building department. How certain is anticipate, and what do you think that number would be?
I don't think I broke it down in the position. I can get you that answer for a dollar amount of what the building department spends. Mm-hmm. I'm 99% sure. I don't have the check, so I can't guarantee it 100%, but in previous years, they reimburse for the portion that's allocated to the building department. There's a portion that goes to the fire department that we pay for, and a portion that goes to now the police department that we pay for, sewer and some others, but for the most part, they have been 100% reimbursing us for the building piece.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Are there any further questions, comments from members of the council? Questions, comments from members of the public? Thank you. If no one else objects within the committee, I would like just to keep the director up there since we have a couple items that we're going to ask on. So I'm going to, if you don't mind, is that okay with you as well as Councilman Lattisor? Do you have an issue? Thank you. So we'll go right to item number 11, which is bid 2023-310, Director. Per your request, this is found on page 31. This is State of Rhode Island Software and Services for Database. You have the mic.
Thank you. I had received a phone call from Councilman Lattisor, rightfully so. I had a line in my position letter that says this is significantly higher than previous years because now it includes the training portion from the same company that was being handled by the fire department. I'm incorrect in that. This is the second year. It's the first year I've budgeted for it. So I was doing the budget at the time, writing my notes for the budget. Why is this going up? It's because we're handling the training piece of it, but actually because we weren't doing a piece of software for this fiscal year 24, I had paid for it using that money. For fiscal year 25, which this letter is referencing, I now have budgeted for that extra amount, and it's just an incorrect statement in that, but I wanted to clarify it for anyone because there was actually only about a 5 or 6% increase this year, 37,000 something to 39,000. It's about 5 or 6%, which is normal for software increases.
So the amount that is being bid on is correct. It's just a simple comment in your position paper.
The comment isn't true. It isn't a significant increase from last year. It's a significant budget increase, but not an expenditure increase.
Thank you. Are there any questions, concerns, or comments from members of this committee? Questions, concerns, or comments from members of the council? Questions, concerns, or comments from members of the public? Thank you. We'll move on to... So now we'll go on to item number 14, 2025-027. This was requested by Councilman Gebhardt. This is the PACE 9 training contract for Munis, found on page 73. Councilman Gebhardt.
Director, the only thing I didn't see in your letters, who's being trained?
We actually pick that during the year. We usually take some type of manual piece of our process within the city, and we look at what we have already paid for the Munis modules.
And that's what we'll pick one to focus on. Most likely, right now, our utility billing, we use a product called Opal, which I believe is owned by Vision. And it's, you'll understand this, it's based in Fox Pro. So, yeah, exactly. So we're looking at that. We get, along with our PACE training, we get a free, included in the price, evaluation, where Tyler will come in for a day or two with their module expert, look at what you're doing, what you're taking advantage of, and highlight to you what you're not using, what you're not taking advantage of that would give you some efficiency improvements. This year, last year we did human resource. So this year's training really focused on a lot of the human resource processes that we're still continuing to improve on. We're looking at utility billing in June with our free two-day evaluation. Most likely that's going to, you know, sketch out some projects where we want to do additional training in that area to use the module that we already own.
Okay. Got it. And if we increased this, could you do more, or is there just like a certain amount of this that you can handle at one time?
Well, since we brought Chris back on, he's able to focus on this. A nine's about, I used to have a hard time by myself. I had a hard time getting 5 days, just getting people's time where it was meaningful. Now, nine seems to be about the right amount. We hit last year, I believe, we came back and asked for another day or two because it just worked out that way. But that's a good amount to get focused on an efficiency improvement and not tax people's time. They have daily jobs, and pulling out for a half day or two, a whole day at a time, it's a lot to ask with other training that's going
on. Okay, got it. Yeah, it's a great area to focus on. So we'd be happy to see you come back with more requests.
All set? Thank you, sir. Questions for members of the committee? Questions for members of the council? Questions for members of the public? Questions for members of the public? You're not done yet, Phil.
One more.
So next in the final, wait a minute. Yes, you are.
No.
That's right.
310.
20, I lost 23, it. 310. Number two. Thank you.
This one. Yep. 2025. Yeah.
I checked that one off. We already spoke about MIS, Emergency Services Workforce Management.
Yes, this is 2023-310.
Yep.
Software Contract Services.
That's true.
I only know that because I'm reading it.
We have so much. So did we cover all your information? Or no, I still got to do one. The 2023-310, correct?
Correct.
All right. I checked that off too quick. So 2023-310, that's item number 11, page 31, MIS, State of Rhode Island Software and Services for Database Programming. Director.
Thank you. This request is to have a business partner come in, and they're going to do a study and develop a roadmap for us to migrate from our current situation where we have on-premise systems and services and lay out a roadmap of how do we migrate to cloud services and shared services outside of the city's infrastructure. I just thought I discussed this. Councilman Lattiser had a question about it. Councilman Gebhardt and I discussed it. And I thought it was worth just mentioning to everyone that while this is a fairly low dollar amount to do the roadmap, it only looks at what we have, talks to us about best practices and where we can get some low-hanging fruit in the order we would attack this at. The different things that are going to come into this roadmap that we're going to want to execute are going to have a fairly significant price tag associated with them. And we've discussed this at budget time. I've discussed it with the city council and the administration at budget time for the last few years. We do not have
a sufficient infrastructure. We don't spend the money on the sufficient infrastructure, which is a choice. And the choice is because best practices are leading us to, I think the phrase the councilman had lent me was an unfunded mandate. Software companies are moving to the point where they're saying, we only offer our software if you use it on our servers. SaaS is software as a service. Those SaaS models are more expensive. There are offsetting costs, which we are going to hopefully get out of this roadmap, but they're not going to be 100%. So I just wanted to bring it up that although this is a low dollar amount, relatively speaking, to get that roadmap, as we start to go through piece by piece and discuss it, there will be a number of projects that come out of it that are more costly.
So in summary, you're giving us a nice warning that we're about to have to fund an unfunded, tantamount to an unfunded mandate.
They're coming, yes.
They're coming, yes. Thank you. Are there any questions from members of this committee? Questions from members of the council? Questions from the public? You know what, maybe we'll create something. You just stay there for 1 minute. No. Thank you so much, Director. Thank you. Okay, I want to thank my colleagues for being patient. I'll go back to item number 7 now. That was requested by Councilman Foley. Bid 2025-016, Warwick Fire Department. Promotional exams, page 18. You have, please identify. Councilman, you have the floor.
Good evening, Assistant Chief Umban Howard, Fire Department.
Thank you. My question is, do we currently have openings for these promotional exams?
So we do not currently have openings in most of the ranks. This is, typically our promotional exams are two-year lists. So every 2 years we have to redo the promotional exams, and this bid covers those promotional exams that happen every 2 years for all the ranks.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. I'm good.
Are there any questions from members of the committee? Questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the public? Thank you, Chief. Next would be item number 9. This is bid 2024-400. DPW traffic signs, channel ports, posts, materials. This is found on page 26. Christy, please identify. Councilman Lattiser, you have the floor.
Christopher Reddy, Public Works.
Christy, in this bid that you were looking for $18,000 for these fence posts and brackets, it brings me to the issue of the posts and brackets that Councilwoman Travis and I are being assessed for the signs that we have. And I had requested some information regarding this from the administration and didn't receive it. And also, in looking at the Munis report today, currently in this line item, you have $10,272 in that line item that's still available.
Correct.
In reviewing the items associated with the bids for those signs, what I found was the vendor that you approved, or we approved at your recommendation, department's recommendation, was not the same vendor as the first go-round of signs that we had. And if I understood it correctly, it was because the second vendor was cheaper. So the questions that I have is, were the other wards that received these signs, were they charged an additional roughly $900 per sign.
They were,
or I should say, for their appropriate bids.
They were charged for.
They were not.
Yes, they were.
They were?
Yes.
In the original bid?
The bid for the pedestrian signals, the posts were part of that bid. The bid for, I believe, Councilman Gebhardt's solar signs, along with the one in your ward, the posts were in the bid. Or in the quote, I should say. Because we did a 56.6 for all of this, for the solar speed signs. And then for yours and Councilwoman Travis's signs, the posts were not included in the quote. So we had to find a way to put them up, which is why there's an additional fee assessed.
They weren't included in the second quote.
No.
But yet they were included in the first quote.
They were.
So one of the questions I asked was, what was the amount that was charged for the signs to each respective ward on the first quote?
I don't have that information with me.
I didn't get that answer either. And that was a while ago when I asked the question. So the new vendor that we went with for the signs, was that new vendor cheaper than the first vendor?
For the solar speed signs or the posts?
Yes.
Which one?
For the solar speed signs.
It was the exact same vendor.
It was the same vendor?
Yes.
So where was it that I saw a change in vendors?
Probably in the sign posts, because we ordered them from a vendor and they couldn't ship them to us in time. So we went to another vendor and secured them. And then all the posts were used for the various signs that needed to go up. So when yourself and Councilwoman Travis wanted additional solar speed signs, and there were 16 of them, I believe, eight locations, two in each, one in each direction, so two per location, we had to order more. We didn't have any on hand to hang the signs up, and they weren't part of the quote for the signs that we purchased for yours and Councilwoman Travis's ward.
So why weren't we notified of that in the first place? Or even better question, why didn't you know it in the first place before that came to us for approval? We've already approved the signs for Councilwoman Travis's area and for my area. And those were approved with a certain amount. And now you're coming back. As a matter of fact, without our authorization, and Councilwoman Travis can correct me if I'm wrong, but without our authorization, I believe that the purchasing agent approved that money's $800 and some odd to come out of our opera appropriations. So that's another question I'll have in a minute. But
the signs need to be hung on something.
Sorry?
The signs have to hang on something. We needed to purchase the poles. I will also let you know that I found them cheaper elsewhere, and we were able to pick them up. So instead of it being 900 and change per ward, it was 800 and change per ward. But yes, it's still part of your ARPA project for the signs. We have to hang them on something. And we had to purchase the poles.
I get it. I understand you have to hang them on something. I also understand that when somebody is getting a bid, that they should thoroughly review the bid to make sure everything is included, not to come back to us, you know, sometime later and say, oh, by the way, they never included the poles or the brackets. But yet in the specs that I looked at, I saw brackets were included. So my question is, what brackets did they include?
That was a different purchase. Those purchases didn't have anything to do with the purchase that we made for wards 5 and 6. The quote that we received, that I wrote a 56.6 for wards 5 and 6, and it was an oversight on our part, did not include the poles on the quote. Had the poles been included, you would still be paying for them out of your ARPA funds.
So again, I am requesting to get the amounts that were approved by the council for the first batch of signs versus the signs that Councilwoman Travis and I are being charged for extra. And by the way, as I said, I'm still waiting for an explanation, and I'll give you it'd probably be better off for the purchasing agent to address this, is where did she get the authority to approve those signs coming out of our APRA funds? We didn't, Councilwoman Travis, did you approve that?
So, Councilman, if I may redirect, this, I understand you have concerns. I would encourage you to call the mayor's office and make the appointment, but we're speaking about this specific bid, and I'm afraid that we're kind of getting off topic of this bid.
Okay, I don't disagree with you, Mr. Chairman, but if you heard my comments in the first place, I've already made that request for that information.
I understand.
And haven't received it. As a matter of fact, that request was sent through the council liaison's office, and I have not seen the response to it. So you tell me, make the calls. Okay, we make the calls, we make the emails, then I expect to get answers. So anyways, back to the item.
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, I have the floor. You know, the chief of staff shouldn't not be just stepping up to the podium, interrupting me.
Well, you're yelling at me, and I haven't even had a chance to respond to what the chief requested. So I do agree with the councilman. He said he was going to move on. After all is said and done, I'll welcome a response since the question was asked and you want to make a statement. That'll be left up to you, councilman. You still have the floor.
So apparently I'm not going to get that answer right now as to why Councilwoman Travis and I are being charged, other than the administration went to a different bidder and then found out later that, oh, by the way, we don't have the fence posts and we don't have the brackets. So we just pass it on. But the other concern is that the $882 from Councilwoman Travis's as well as mine opera funds have been deducted, and we were sent an email asking if we approved it. I never responded to approve it because I was asking questions first, but it was just done. So make up the rules as you go along. Is that what we got going on here? Thank you. Maybe I'll get an answer on that.
Thank you, Councilman. Chief, do you wish to respond to any of the comments that were made?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, just a general comment. It was noted that communication was sent to our office and no response was given. I would just reject that characterization. The director and myself went back and forth on a few emails with the council member. We had a follow-up phone conversation with the legislative director about the issue and indicated that if any of the responses were inadequate, to please, you know, reach out and let us know. So I would just reject the categorization that no response was given. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there
Chairman?
Any councilmen?
So I think the chief of staff just said that a phone call was made to me. I didn't get no phone call.
That this sounds like something, again, I would ask that once we know this bid, I highly recommend that there be a conference.
I didn't receive any phone call.
Understood.
From DPW or from the chief of staff.
Okay. Are there any questions, other questions pertaining to this bid from members of the council? Are there any questions from members pertaining to this bid from members of the public? Thank you. May I have a motion?
Move favorable action on the bid package.
Second.
I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. The time is now 5:36 and the Warwick Finance Committee is closed.
The next committee to meet is intergovernmental, and that can start at 6:20. So we will see you back here at 6:20.
It is now 6:20 and the intergovernmental committee is now in session. The first order of business is the acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on April 1st, 2024. Do I have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
The first item on the calendar is PCR 20-24, a resolution request on the General Assembly to enact legislation exempting from taxation the real property and tangible personal property of the Rhode Island Coalition Against Domestic Violence. Councilman Sinapi.
So I'm going to have an amendment for this. The solicitor is working on the language. It's due to the unique nature of the way their lease operates. So we've already talked about this for weeks. We have the fiscal note. My request would be to put it to the full council, even if the vote's not favor up or down, just get it to the full council for discussion. We can get the amendment there, and then we can discuss it in full at that time.
Okay. Okay. Do we have a motion to move it to the council?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Although, solicitor, can we do it that way, or does it need to go to the full council and then the public?
You're able to move it to the full council with the understanding that pursuant to the rules, we would be entertaining the public comment testimony at the time of any amendment potentially moving forward.
Perfect.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Yes, Councilman.
So as of today, I still do not have a fiscal note other than what was texted to me at the previous meeting. I don't know about the rest of you, but I haven't received a fiscal note from the administration. And the fiscal note, as you know, is supposed to be presented to us 7 days before the meeting. And that has not happened. So I don't know why, but it hasn't. As a matter of fact, at the previous meeting, and I reviewed the tape today, this morning, actually, and the chief of staff got to the podium and said that the fiscal note was BCC'd to the council, which was somewhere around 5 o'clock or 4:30, whatever it was. I never received a BCC on any fiscal note. So here we are again, where we don't have a fiscal note, either from the finance director or, as been indicated, from the director of assessment. So that's my point. How can we proceed with something when we do not have a fiscal note?
Okay. Chief.
Yes, Chairman. As I indicated, and as the councilman mentioned at the last council meeting, the director of assessing did send out that document on the day of the previous council meeting. Solicitor, I'm not sure of the exact date of it, but he had BCC'd it to all members of the council. That's my understanding.
And who was it sent to? Because I didn't receive it. Did any other member of the council other than Councilman Sinapi receive it? Councilwoman Travis just stated she never received it. Mr. President, did you receive it?
I do not know if I received it. I knew that there was one that came in around 4 o'clock of the council meeting, but I did not review it.
So. We never. Correct. It was never sent to us. Madam Clerk, did you receive any fiscal note for this meeting this evening, or any other communication?
I have not received a fiscal note for this.
You didn't receive anything either.
No, sir.
Pardon me, Solicitor Walsh, if it would be appropriate, the Director of Assessing and I are happy to leave the chamber, go check the record, and do our best to get that for you.
Doesn't work. The fiscal note is very clear in the rules. It needs to be presented 7 days prior to the council meeting. This is something that you should be well aware of.
As a point of order, it's not 7 days prior to the council meeting for the whole council. It's just the finance committee. So the question isn't, did the whole council receive it? The question is, did the finance committee receive it?
Well, how about both? Because I didn't receive it.
Again, according to section 30-7 of the ordinances, the requirement is that the finance committee, the city council, receives it 7 days before. And as far as whether or not you received it 7 days before, you did, because I gave it to you. So that's not really a question.
No, you did not. You texted it to me at 6:20 or so the night of that meeting.
How long ago was that meeting?
Oh, 2 weeks.
Okay, thank you. So the remaining question is whether or not the finance committee received it 7 days prior to the meeting or not.
And
not a question of whether or not someone else did.
One other member of the council did not receive it, and now you're referring to something else that the finance committee received earlier today that we are not privy to, the rest of the council. We don't have any such information. So how is it that this stuff is just being done without inclusion of the entire city council? But yet people are asking us or expecting us to vote on something tonight that we haven't even seen.
Chairman?
Yes.
Council, thank you. For the record, I as the finance chair, this is Councilman Howe, work finance committee chairman. On April 1st, 2024 at 4:03 p.m., I received the fiscal note pertaining to PCR 2024. So on going on just what Councilman, I am not debating what I'm just acknowledging from what the Councilman said, that it was received. I received that fiscal note on April 1st.
So thank you,
Councilman. So that is more than 7 days before this meeting.
I received it on April 1st.
Correct.
Yes,
but it was never disseminated to the rest of the council.
Yes.
None of us, the rest of us didn't see it.
Hold on a minute, please. Councilman Foley.
I believe we've made a motion. It's been seconded to move this to the full council for discussion. Therefore, this discussion is out of order, I believe. Solicitor?
A point of order was being addressed. It would be appropriate to continue this, the vote uninterrupted. The full item and the concerns that you have will be addressed before any action by the full council.
Fine.
So therefore, we take a vote on the motion to move to the full floor, correct?
It's in order for you to do so.
Yeah. You said yes.
Okay, we have a motion to move it to the full floor. I second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The second item on the calendar is PCR 25-24, a resolution requesting the General Assembly to review and consider adopting provisions of the Keeping Children Safe from Family Violence Act, also known as Caden's Law. Councilman Sinapi?
So this is similar in scope to Councilman Lattice's resolution on election security, as far as we're not trying to browbeat the General Assembly into anything. We're not demanding they do anything. We're just asking that they look into the prospect of enacting what's widely known as Caden's Law. A brief summary is that there is federal funds available for the training and implementation of helping the family court system deal with particular kinds of issues for those who don't practice family court or aren't attorneys. The Rhode Island family court system is, we'll put it the gentle way, not great. And it's not, I'm not saying it's anyone in particular's fault. It's been a system that's been around for a while, like everything else. It needs improvements. And this is a great way to do it without having to kind of crunch the numbers and panic and figure out where funds come from, because the federal government's willing to do it. They're willing to do it for multiple years. And by the time the funding runs out, you can have already basically put together what you need to training wise, but by those first several years, basically a capital investment so that you don't have to keep expending funds on it. And the goal is to basically prevent what happened in Warwick not too long ago, the tragedy where the child was killed and the father took his own life. The goal is to prevent that situation, among others, from being possible by basically making sure the judges and staff are educated on the topic and have the tools they need to be able to make the right decisions, as opposed to just expecting them to figure out things that normal people, including judges, I mean, it's not a fair ask under normal circumstances, frankly. So this helps them get the knowledge and understanding they need to do what they need to do and to prevent the tragedies like the one that happened earlier in Warwick. And again, It's very gentle as far as the request. That's, I did it that way on purpose because I don't, the General Assembly might do their own swing on it. They might also opt out altogether and not want to do it at all. So this is at least gets it on their radar as something that they should be cognizant of. That way we hopefully get in before the federal funds stop being an option.
Thank you. Any questions from the council? From the council, first one come in. Jeremy?
Thank you. If I may direct a question through the chair to Councilman Sinapi. The federal funds, is that strictly for the purpose of training for the judge and for the judiciary staff, or are there any other federal funds that may be available?
I'd have to look into it to get refreshed on it, because this was a while ago when I looked into it. My vague understanding was the funds were to help for establishment and implementation of the law and everything required for it. So whether it be support staff or judges, et cetera.
Thank you. I'll just make a brief statement that this tends to be one of those areas where I think that we are all, of course, in support of this cause and this outcome. It's also a little bit difficult for me as a councilman to weigh in on this particular law, because it is a very complicated area when it comes to judges' discretion as to placement, custody, and it's something that we are not having a direct vote upon in terms of any ordinances here in Warwick, but rather it's a resolution to the General Assembly. And over the last few years, it's been more typical that the City Council does not necessarily weigh in on generally applicable laws, although certainly exceptions have been made, and I've advocated for some exceptions to that myself. It is something where I would like to hear a little bit more about this as well. Again, it's absolutely a cause that I support. We need to make sure to do whatever we can be doing to prevent domestic violence. And it's also, of course, a very delicate issue too, because I think that in a lot of people's experiences, judges naturally tend to have a certain inclination towards trying to prevent dangerous situations from occurring in the first place. And sometimes that results in judges using their discretion in terms of placement or barring one family member or another family member from seeing a child when there are circumstances where it is just a matter of allegations. It is something where we place a lot of trust into the hands of judges to make the right call. It's humbling to have that realization that, yeah, judges, they are human beings after all, and sometimes they're going to get it wrong. And since I don't practice family law, I know enough that I know how complicated this area of law is, so I would like to hear a little bit more from members of the council, members of the public, before I make up my mind as to which way is most appropriate to vote on this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions or comments? Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I also find
this resolution to be very interesting. And through the chair to Councilman Sinapi, would you be able to provide us with any more specific occurrences or information that led you to drafting this in the first place? I think that there's a much deeper message here in this legislation, and if there is, I'd like to hear it. I think this is a really important step that you're taking, but I'd like to hear a little deeper.
Sure. So this was first pointed out to me by a constituent who has and continues to endure the family court system. I don't talk about it much, but I am involved in the family court system both personally and to a degree professionally, although thankfully a very limited degree. My own experience with it is of not really anything positive, unfortunately, and that's not due to any fault of anyone employed there, frankly. It's just the nature of how the system works and its current form. The largest problem being that there's, I mean, as Jeremy knows and has seen, judges often have a massive caseload normally. In family court, it's not much different. In fact, sometimes it's worse. And on top of that, the issues in family court all are far more difficult, usually, from the mundane to the less so. So the point of Caden's law, among other things, is to kind of help bring some sort of balance to it and to help educate them. So it basically, it does, there's four main things it goes for: restricting expert testimony for only those who are qualified to provide it, because otherwise you'll have people walking into family court touting that they know best and here's why, but they're not actually qualified in any size, shape, or form to be weighing in on a child's well-being. I mean, we all know from experience, there's pediatricians, there's specialists. Pediatricians are for kids. Other doctors are for other people. It's usually a very clear delineation, and there's a reason for that. They're different. Limiting the use of reunification camps and therapies which cannot be proven safe and effective. Providing evidence-based ongoing training to judges and court personnel on family violence subject matter. So that's the big one that I'm most interested in, because that, coupled with the last one of requiring the family courts to consider the existence of protection from abuse orders when making custody decisions, are the most important, because you shouldn't have a situation where there's a child actively being abused and there's a court order on it, and yet that parent who's actively abusing them has unsupervised custody rights because the court wasn't made aware of it properly, or just it wasn't obvious to them for whatever reason. And then you have a situation where the abuser decides to either continue their abuse and takes it too far, or escalate it intentionally, like we had more recently, where the person was an abuser and decided to take it to another level. And for those who don't know, when that happened, my son's school got locked down too, because they, at the time, didn't know where that individual was, because there was a sibling in that school area. So there was a active possibility that the shooter was going to go to my kid's school or the school next door. So this was very much a real and present threat to a lot of parents and their kids in my ward in particular, but the city as a whole. Some of this stuff is kind of, it should be already part of it. Like, judges should be provided the training in the first place. They should be provided the support they need, and their personnel as well. So, and from that perspective, it's kind of an easy win where it helps everybody get what they need. And states are increasingly seeing that. We have Pennsylvania, New York, California, Colorado, Maryland, Montana, Illinois, and looks like some more too, all have enacted this. It's just, it's likely going to happen here one way or another it's just a matter of time, and I'd rather we get behind it sooner rather than later so that nothing else happens. The sooner it can get on the General Assembly's radar, the better.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask a follow-up question?
Yes, go ahead, please.
So, Councilman Sinapi, is it fair to assume that right now there is nothing that's taking place with item number four?
As far as the...
The family courts consider the... I'm sorry. No, that wasn't the one. Item number three.
Providing evidence-based training. So my, and I could be mistaken, but my understanding is the training that they're required to have is limited, if any, as far as what they're required to do. In fact, I suspect the General Assembly will even have a difficult time making anything required for the judiciary. But my take on it is if someone wants to be a family court judge, as opposed to elsewhere, there's another level of responsibility there where this kind of training is kind of critical. And it's not like you can't, ultimately, the whole point is that it's not so that you can't be a judge if you don't do it. It's that you're not supposed to hear a case that involves this sort of issue, because there's plenty of family court matters that don't involve kids, frankly. That's absolutely the case. But there's also plenty that do, and there's also plenty that involve abuse. And there's no reason not to actually make sure they're trained how to deal with it. And frankly, it already should be a thing. I don't know why it's not. Mm-hmm. Try not to think about it, because it seems like a given that it should be required and it should be this thorough and address all these topics.
Thank you for that. Thank you, Chairman.
Any other questions or comments from the council? Any other questions or comments from the public? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
It is now 6:43, and the Intergovernmental Committee is adjourned. Well done.
Good and noble, sir. Next committee is Public Properties, and that can begin at this time. Thank you.
The time is 6:44. The City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs opens for business. First up, we have acceptance of the minutes dated April 1, 2024. Do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
We have one item on the agenda. This is Councilman Sinapi. PCR-131-23, a resolution dedicating Barton Farm as a municipal trust, as a municipal public trust pursuant to RI General Laws 45-36.1-1 et sec, and as having conservation restrictions pursuant to Rhode Island General Laws Section 34-39-1 et sec. This is Assessor's Plat 251, Lot 179, commonly known by the address of 1351 Centerville Road. Councilman Snappy? June 17? Okay, we have a request from the sponsor to hold to June 17th. Do we have a motion?
Move to hold.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Held to June 17th. The City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs adjourns at 6:46 p.m.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We will start the full council meeting at 7 p.m. There is public comment, and if you would like to sign up to be heard this evening, there should be a sign-up sheet on the podium, and we will see you back here at 7 o'clock.